you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are the one who strengthens us. You are the one who redeems us. Amen. So today, I want to open with a story that I've used several times over the course of my 39 years of ministry. I suppose it's one of my favorite sermon illustrations, and it's often used as an illustration of the church. On a dangerous seacoast, where shipwrecks often occurred, there was once a crude little lifeboat station. The building was just a hut. There was only one boat. But the few devoted members kept a constant watch over the sea, and with no thought for themselves, went out day and night, tirelessly, looking out for lost people. Some of those who had been saved, and various others in the surrounding area, wanted to become associated with this station and to give of their time, their money, and effort for the support of its work. New boats were bought, new crews were trained. With commitment and energy, the little lifeboat station grew. Some of the lifeboat station were unhappy that the building was so crude and poorly equipped that they felt that a more comfortable place should be provided as first refuge for those saved from the sea. So they replaced the emergency hammocks with beds and put better furniture in the enlarged building. Now the lifeboat station became a popular gathering place for its members, and they decorated and furnished it beautifully and started using it as a sort of club. Fewer members were now interested in going out on life-saving missions, so they hired lifeboat crews to do this work. Life-saving pictures and mementos decorated the club's walls, where official meetings were held. And about this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crews brought in boatloads of cold, wet, and half-drowned people. They were dirty and they were sick, with different personalities and temperaments, and from other cultural backgrounds. The beautiful new club was in chaos. So the committee immediately had a shower built outside the club where shipwreck victims could be cleaned up before coming inside. At the next meeting, the club members were divided. Most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities since they were unpleasant and a hindrance to the normal social life of the club. But some members insisted that life-saving was their primary purpose and pointed out that they were still called a lifeboat station. However, they were finally outvoted and told that if they wanted to save lives of all types of people who might be shipwrecked, they could begin their own lifeboat station somewhere else further down the coast. And this they did. As the years went by, similar changes took place in the new station as well. It also evolved into a club, and consequently, another lifeboat station was founded elsewhere. History continued to repeat itself, and on that seacoast today, you will find a number of exclusive clubs along the coastline. Shipwrecks are still frequent in those waters, but most of the people are never reached and saved. Now, please do not hear that I'm suggesting that First Presbyterian Church is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. Rather, I think it's a question that needs to be revisited from time to time. We need to constantly reflect on what the mission of the church is, and how do we live out that mission. In our reading from 1 Peter this morning, we hear something about this. Listen again to what the author writes. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former time did not obey when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. He went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison. In modern theological language, we call this the harrowing of hell, when Christ went down into hell. Reverend Dr. Frederick Buechner, in his book Wishful Thinking, writes about this descent into hell. He says, he descended into hell is the way the Apostles' Creed puts it. Of course, it has an almost blasphemous thud to it, sandwiched there between the muffled drums of was crucified, dead, and buried, and the trumpet blast of the third day he rose again from the dead. Christ of all people in hell of all places. It's strange the imagination to think of that. The light of the world making his way through the terrible dark to save whatever ones he can. Yet in view of what he's seen of the world during the last few days in the thick of it, maybe the transition wasn't as hard as you might think. The fancifulness of pictures give way to what seems the more you turn it over in your mind, the inevitability of it. Of course, that is where he would have gone. Of course, that is what he would have done. Christ is always descending and redescending into hell. I thank Buechner for that description. Another way that I put it is that Christ gives second chances, third chances, fourth chances, and so on. And 1 Peter reminds us that the church is supposed to be a lifeboat. We are to help people, not judge them. The church is to follow the pattern of Christ by being a place of refuge, a place of saving grace, a place of safety. And there have been many times when the Church of Jesus Christ has been anything but that. I'm thinking of child and adult abuse in the church, and I'm not thinking just the Roman Catholic Church, but the Protestant Church as well. I'm thinking of the time the Church of Jesus Christ has made pronouncements regarding the sin of accepting women as leaders in the church. I'm thinking of the times that the church has refused to recognize gay people as beloved members of the family of God. The Church of Jesus Christ often finds it easy to see itself in an advisory role to God. God, you need to denounce these people. God, you cannot accept these people. And yet, Jesus, according to the author of 1 Peter, went into hell to save people. God never gives up on God's children. What good parent gives up on their children? No matter what the children do, we will always love them. And God is no different, and even better at it. Our job is to keep sending out the lifeboats. Our job is to share the grace-filled love of God to all people. If the church is seen as a place of judgment, then it will die. Because you see, no one has ever changed because they were shamed. If the Son of God can love those who are in hell, then we can love those who believe differently than us. The think about it. According to the author of 1 Peter, Jesus the Christ saved those who were divisive towards Noah when he was building the ark. You know, the ones who drowned in the flood. Now, whether you believe in the story of the great flood and Noah or not, it doesn't matter. Based on the words of 1 Peter and the life of Jesus, God loves and cares for all people. Not just those we like, but those we don't like as well. Not just those whose lifestyle is the same of ours as ours, but those whose lifestyle is different than ours. Not just those who have the same preferences in life as we have, but those who have different preferences as well. The life of Jesus was about leading people to respect and live in peace with each other. Remember how he restored the ear of the high priest's slave when Peter cut it off when the mob came to arrest Jesus? I think about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea to get away from Pharaoh's army in the time of Moses. I truly believe that God grieved over the loss of the Egyptians' lives as well. We live in a world of us and them. But you see, in God's world, it's only us. We are all in this together, just like we are all in this pandemic together. And we will only get out of it as soon as we start seeing everyone as us. And doing all that we can to live and move in ways that are safe for all of us. That's the lifeboat. Seeing the face of God in each and every person and respecting them for being a sister or brother. Jesus was the lifeboat for the world. And the church needs to grab those oars and continue the job. May God give us the courage to get in that boat and wield those oars and reach out to those who need to be touched, those who need to be loved, those who need to be respected. Amen.